Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconferenced prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Now let's begin this Wednesday Gathering with singing. Hymn number 44. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. I'll fill in for today as reader. The topic of today's healing message is The Great Attainment. The hymns for today's meeting are 44, 408, and 367. I shall be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Romans. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ezekiel. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is. And I will give it him. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Romans. For I delight in the law after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did not work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. 2 Corinthians. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet not henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, before all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation. Mark. But from the beginning of the creation God made them, male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Romans. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. 1 John. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. John. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And from Science and Health. Man, delivered from sin, disease, and death, presents the true likeness or spiritual ideal. We must reverse our feeble flutterings, our efforts to find life and truth in matter, and rise above the testimony of the material senses, above the mortal to the immortal idea of God. These clearer, higher views inspire the godlike man to reach the absolute center and circumference of his being. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. To divest thought of false trusts and material evidences in order that the spiritual facts of being may appear, this is the great attainment by means of which we shall sweep away the false and give place to the true. Thus we may establish in truth the temple or body, whose builder and maker is God. The law of the divine mind must end human bondage, or mortals will continue unaware of man's inalienable rights and in subjection to hopeless slavery because some public teachers permit an ignorance of divine power, an ignorance that is the foundation of continued bondage and of human suffering. A case of convulsions produced by indigestion came under my observation. In her belief, the woman had chronic liver complaint and was then suffering from a complication of symptoms connected with this belief. I cured her in a few minutes. One instant, she spoke despairingly of herself. The next minute, she said, My food is all digested, and I should like something more to eat. We cannot deny that life is self-sustained, and we should never deny the everlasting harmony of soul, simply because, to the mortal senses, there is seeming discord. It is our ignorance of God, the divine principle, which produces apparent discord, and the right understanding of him restores harmony. The mind supposed to exist in matter or beneath a skull bone is a myth, a misconceived sense and false conception as to man and mind. The Word was made flesh. Divine truth must be known by its effects on the body as well as on the mind before the science of being can be demonstrated. Hence its embodiment in the incarnate Jesus, the life link formed the connection through which the real reaches the unreal. Soul rebukes sense, and truth destroys error. John saw the human and divine coincidence shown in the man Jesus, as divinity embracing humanity in life and its demonstration, reducing to human perception and understanding the life which is God. Mortal mind is the worst foe of the body, while divine mind is its best friend. One says, I take good care of my body. To do this, the pure and exalting influence of the divine mind on the body is requisite. And the Christian Scientist takes the best care of his body when he leaves it most out of his thought, and like the Apostle Paul, is willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Immortal mind feeds the body with supernal freshness and fairness, supplying it with beautiful images of thought and destroying the woes of sense, which each day brings us nearer a tomb. Union of the masculine and feminine qualities constitutes completeness. The masculine mind reaches a higher tone through certain elements of the feminine, while the feminine mind gains courage and strength through the masculine qualities. Consider its obligations, its responsibilities, its relations to your growth and to your influence on other lives. You command the situation if you understand the mortal existence is a state of self-deception and not the truth of being. The divine being must be reflected by man, else man is not the image and likeness of the patient, tender, and true, the one altogether lovely. But to understand God is the work of eternity and demands absolute consecration of thought, energy, and desire. From the glossary, Christ, the divine manifestation of God, which comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error. Jesus was the mediator between spirit and the flesh, between truth and error. Explaining and demonstrating the way of divine science, he became the way of salvation to all who accepted his word. From him mortals may learn how to escape from evil. The real man being linked by science to his maker, mortals need only turn from sin and lose sight of mortal selfhood to find Christ, the real man, and his relation to God, and to recognize the divine sonship. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.